It often takes something truly serious to happen to us to seriously sober up to what's truly important in life and to what's truly true also. In the midst of all this COVID-19 hysteria, you may have noticed that your kids are a bit more open to discussing life's deeper realities. Realities that were not previously acknowledged or established pre-coronavirus. The corona pandemic has offered incredible opportunities to establish the reality that certain things are inevitable, unchangeable, and totally out of our human control. Things like death, the weather, our age, our height, or our gender. Many parents whose kids now have to know how to navigate today's LGBTQ agenda are at a loss for discussion and counsel. Now, whether those struggles are personal, theological, ideological, or scientific, today's broadcast is a must in helping you set the record straight. Next on Licensed to Parent. Well, welcome, and thanks for listening to today's broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long, Christ-centered residential program for troubled teens. And today's topic is just one of the issues troubling some of the teens who come onto our campus. But just as a reminder, this is a parenting program, so it is for your ears, mom or dad. And given today's topic, it may not be suitable conversation for all of the kids in your household or in your car. So if you need to turn the program off for now, you can always find it later on our website at licensedtoparent.org. Our host on the program is Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, we could do a whole program on the opportunities that this corona pandemic has offered parents and their kids, particularly with respect to these deeper discussions that I alluded to a moment ago. But today's program is about a particular discussion that seems to have gotten lost or at least shelved by the media during this pandemic. But I don't think it's one that parents need to put on a shelf. And right now, I think would be as good a time as any for parents to take the LGBTQ discussion back off the shelf and start having some informed conversation with their kids about it. But particularly the issues of transgender. Now, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, Rich, I think transgender issues are the easiest to debunk from the scientific perspective anyway. Just the fact that we have to have this discussion should be evidence to the fact that, you know, if you perpetuate a crazy enough premise or a straight-up lie long enough, people will believe it. And history's shown that to be the case over and over and over again. But I think today's guest is going to once again bring our parents some welcomed ammunition for this discussion, because too many of today's kids, and I'm talking kids from Christian homes too, have swallowed so much of this LGBTQ propaganda hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Well, we have invited Dr. Quentin Van Meter back to the program to join us in this conversation. Yes, he is a repeat offender here, a repeat guest on Licensed to Parent. Dr. Van Meter is a pediatric endocrinologist in Atlanta. He's affiliated with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And prior to coming to the city, he spent 20 years in the Navy Medical Corps. He's a clinical associate professor of pediatrics at both the Emory University and Morehouse Schools of Medicine, and he's the president of the American College of Pediatricians. Incidentally, if you'd like to listen back to the other Licensed to Parent programs with Dr. Van Meter as a guest, you'll find those on our website at licensedtoparent.org. Trace?
Well, Dr. Van Meter, welcome back to Licensed to Parent, and welcome back to Shepherd's Hill Academy.
Great to be here. There's lots of building that's gone on since my last visit.
Oh, man. Yeah, and there'll be more next week. So, but it is so good to have you here. It's been a while since we've been last talked. I thought maybe it was a year, but Rich says 2018. That's crazy. Has there been any new developments or discoveries in the past year or two that would bring some encouragement or maybe even some alarm to parents with respect to our culture's growing celebration of LGBTQ ideologies?
Particularly focusing on the transgender, there have been some amazing developments, and I sort of sense that God's presence is within this community of folks fighting this mantra that gender is biologic and can replace the concept of biologic sex.
Yeah, it's a truth fight.
It is, and it's coming around to governments in Europe. The United Kingdom has just decided that they will cease and desist all social, medical, and surgical treatment of any person under the age of 18.
Hallelujah.
Closed down their two transgender clinics that exist in the National Health Service there.
Well, give them credit for that.
Yes, and they did that because of the growing sense that there was really some devious manipulation of statistics and people who were in these clinics seeing processes that looked beyond science and were totally social agenda driven and were causing essential harm, emotional harm in particular, to the kids that were involved in these programs. Wow. And there's a big lawsuit by one such child against the British government health system that is in the courts there. I've had an opportunity over these past 2 years to visit London twice and to talk to folks at the, what's called the IFTCC. It's the International Federation of Therapeutic Choice and Counseling. And it's almost an underground organization. They really came up for air and had a meeting where I was invited to speak. There is a really significant groundswell of counselors in the UK who are fighting the government shutdown of their counseling of troubled kids who are looking at transgender as an answer. Here in the United States, the opposite has been occurring. There is probably another 10 transgender health centers opened since I was here last on this microphone. And there is a clear move afoot to stifle any conversation from those of us who have an opposite opinion from the trendy affirmation concept. We are getting into medical literature. There are about 8 different times we've been in valid, published, peer-reviewed journals, either in letters to the editor or articles, which is a new break. But I will tell you that in getting invited to speak at the national endocrine meetings across this country is an impossibility. I have put my foot in that door. I have emailed. I have had contact with the directors and designers of the educational national meetings for the Endocrine Society and the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists. These are sort of the preeminent academic and clinical endocrine organizations in this country, and they essentially refuse to have a dialogue type of presentation.
You know, why are they digging their heels in to something that they have no substance to support? I mean, it's really great news to know that a lot of parents can now realize maybe I wasn't so nuts, you know?
Sure.
And yet, we seem to be behind the curve with Europe and a lot of things. This is one we need to really catch up with. Why do you suppose they're digging their heels? Is it a pride thing? Is there an agenda where people stand to profit? What's really going on? Because I see this more as an industry political issue than it is anything else.
Well, I think there are two sides to it. There are those who are in the academic centers who are essentially afraid that science is actually going to be brought up and exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they dig in with the repeated mantras over and over and over again at every outlet they possibly can get through state legislatures around the country that are looking at bills to protect kids from transgender affirmation below the age of consent of 18. They're there with a prepackaged mantra, things to say. It's over and over again the same concepts. So, if what would you rather have, a transgender child or a dead child? And that those are your choices.
Oh, yeah.
It's a threat with suicide, attempt by the child because they're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big hammer to hit everybody with, and it's very effective. On the dark side of this are the pharmaceutical companies that are using and manufacturing puberty blockers, which are really expensive medications. We're talking about, for the standard treatment under FDA-approved guidelines, about $30,000 a year to block. And that for FDA-approved indications, these are covered by insurance companies.
Oh, well, there you go.
But for the non-FDA-approved, which transgender is in that category, it's out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
There are plastic surgery programs gearing up to create artificial look-alike genital structures that can be sewn on. They have no biologic function, but they are a costume piece.
Mm-hmm.
You rip out the original biologic sexual equipment, which then is replaced by something that's a sort of an artificial kind of a creation that has no real biologic function. It's just, again, a costume piece.
Well, we're a society that's getting comfortable with things that are artificial.
Yes, and you are told that you'll be happy. And
yeah.
They'll parade out a couple of folks who come out and say they're extremely happy. This was the best thing they've ever done.
But even the happiness is artificial because it doesn't go into the deeper joy, the inner part.
Absolutely, they're missing that. These are people who have left the reality of hope of a God in their life that guides them and that loves them and created them in his image and is moving forward. So these are, you know, it's a separation of faith as if it's a disease or for dumb people,
right.
You know, who are dependent and just aren't very smart like all the secular folks who just know all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really have a marketing situation. And there's a lot of, a profound amount of money in the $500 million category by the Pritzker family in Chicago, who runs the Children's Hospital.
He's a governor, isn't he?
That family, same family.
He bought his governorship.
And it's the Hyatt family, the Hyatt Money family.
There you go.
And they run the medical school. They run the Children's Hospital. You know, they just pump money in, and they it's astounding.
Mm.
So the thing that I've been doing is sort of going to medical meetings that are run by transgender activists and sitting in quietly just to listen to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping, I mean, and I don't know why I should believe they would do this, that they would actually have some sort of concept of valid science that they're going to present to their colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all anecdotal, smarmy stuff. You know, the one of the presenters in a program here in Georgia said that she was so proud because her daughters, for their Halloween costume, wanted to be unicorns. And, of course, unicorn is the symbol of transgender.
Right, right.
And she was just so proud of them. Now, this is a married woman with children. And she herself is promoting the concept that transgender is normal and healthy and should be accepted.
Well, that's the thing. You got people who don't have an agenda but who do really believe this stuff. You know, and I often say that if we buy into a false premise, then the rest of any story or ideology can begin to make sense. And can you give us the who, what, when, where, why, and how behind some of the false premises that have duped not just the average citizens, but so many mental health professionals too, going back to John Money and Kinsey and these guys. There's a root to a lot of this.
Yeah, it was a root that sort of shot up in the 70s and came to a little bit of a bud and tried to gain traction. And because of the outcomes that were interesting, the patients, the adult transgender patients, they were called transsexual back then, they were sort of reviewed personally, every single one of them that was in John Money's program. And what they found was that their undercurrent emotional issues of depression and anxiety, which actually they were trying to leave and to cure with assuming a new persona, all those problems remained, every single one of them.
Yeah.
And so they said at Hopkins at that point in time, well, we have done nothing. We've spent money. We've done surgical manipulations. We've done hormonal manipulations. And these people still have the same undercurrent issues.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a cure.
Yeah.
And that was what shut the program down in the early 1980s at Hopkins. They said, this is not good. This doesn't do what it says it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it lay fallow here for almost 30 or 40 years and pops up again with the group in Boston starting this. The group in Boston, Dr. Spack, Norm Spack, is a pediatric endocrinologist. He sort of fell in love with the idea that that transgender kind of concept should be applied to children and that therapy should be applied to children.
Mm. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the concept of what is a sexual perversion anymore? And did this thing get started by some sexual perverts? I guess it's a tough question, but I think it's one that needs to be asked.
Well, our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Dr. Quentin Van Meter. He's president of the American College of Pediatricians and is a pediatric endocrinologist based in Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about, I guess, where we've taken left and right turns in the LGBTQ conversation and why this might be, this pandemic time, might be a good time to renew those conversations with our kids. This is Licensed to Parent, back after this break.
In today's digital age, there's more access than ever to digital devices. With technology constantly evolving to make our lives easier, is it any wonder that many feel as though they just can't live without it? Digital addiction can be just as chemically debilitating as drugs. Time in front of a screen can drastically affect the life of your child. For starters, your child may choose technology over simple things like playing outside and engaging in exercise, acquiring a job, and gaining life experience. To learn more about how digital addiction can affect your child, visit helpmytroubledteen.org, click on resources, and look for the article, What is Digital Addiction? Parenting isn't easy. Shepherd's Hill Academy wants to equip you with resources for all areas and issues of life. Discover a variety of ebooks, podcasts, links, and more to help you navigate the parenting landscape. HelpMyTroubledTeen.org.
Is your teen's behavior dangerous? Your child's behavior may seem incredibly volatile during the teenage years. Sometimes the signs and symptoms come and go quickly as your child is growing, but other times behaviors are developed and nurtured that will lead to unhealthy choices. Here are a few items to consider. Does your teen refuse to abide by anything you say or request? Is your teen displaying behavior that's a marked change from what has been normal? Has your teen become increasingly disrespectful, dishonest, and disobedient, and openly rebellious? Go to helpmytroubledteen.org and take the quiz, Is My Teen Troubled? While some behavioral issues are minor and best resolved at home, there are warning signs that your teen may need a more structured approach to get them on a healthy, constructive path. And Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help. Visit helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Is My Teen Troubled? helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for troubled teens. You can find out more about Shepherd's Hill, and you can also find out more about Licensed to Parent and hear past programs when you visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. And we are talking today with Dr. Quentin Van Meter, president of the American College of Pediatricians. He's a pediatric endocrinologist based in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're discussing whether or not the LGBTQ conversations that have been somewhat sidelined during this COVID-19 pandemic should be brought out on the table for further conversation with our kids. Trace?
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about what you would call the three musketeers, I think, the guys who kind of got the ball rolling in this direction. You know, in 2020, America's postmodern and relativistic way of thinking, in other words, with everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, other than sexual relations with children, and even that has to be defined now as we're looking at maybe lowering the age of consent, what's really considered sexual perversion anymore? And would you have considered guys like Monty and Kinsey and Benjamin, who did kind of get this stuff rolling and accelerated, would they be considered people that maybe in years gone by would have been considered sexual perverts?
There's no question that having known Monty personally, I would say he falls into that category for sure. And his idea was he would wish to see a world where there were essentially no limits on what sexual behavior was right. accepted as normal or abnormal, and right. that nothing would be abnormal.
Sure.
Chipping away at this a little at a time, we've accelerated since and it sort of started with the political push for same-sex parent adoption, and then very quickly following that, same-sex marriage. And then very, very quickly following that, the concept that transgender was a biologic norm and that that kind of situation should be accepted. Everyone gets guilted into feeling like if you're not kind and accepting of this, you are somehow a bigot.
Right.
And that's a great thing to throw at people, particularly if they are themselves trying to fit in society and be good people, yeah. good-hearted people. Yeah. And so, it's a situation where we're guilted into accepting something that is really not part of God's plan.
Right. It's the emperor's new clothes situation.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just last night, I was watching Anderson Cooper bragging on his new son. Okay, obviously adopted son, or maybe it was artificial insemination. I don't know the situation, but his guests, you know, one of was a doctor, and they're just yucking it up how wonderful this is. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, in any other time, and maybe in different locations around the world, that would be considered child abuse. But because this guy can deliver the news well and, you know, has a good mind and other aspects of his life, he gets a pass. I don't know how else to put it. But, Rich, you wanted to chime in here.
Well, I do. Not so much about the Anderson Cooper thing, but just a question to touch back, Dr. Van Meter, on a comment you made in the first half of the program, and that was talking about how people in general who are going through a wrestling match with LGBTQ issues in their own lives, that they really need to accept and understand who God has made them to be, and that God made them perfectly exactly as they were supposed to be, and, you know, not to feel that they have to change something necessarily. I'm wondering your thoughts, both you and Trace, on what role society may be playing in this, and I would say Christian society especially, because I think we have perhaps unintentionally adopted a lot of strong and perhaps artificial stereotypes about what is, quote, normal for a boy and normal for a girl. And I'm let me be careful how I present this, but for example, all boys have to love sports. All girls have to like ballet, you know, et cetera. There are a lot of gender roles that have been defined, and I think almost out of fear, we tend to underscore those and stamp them in bold, you know, no, this is how you have to be. And if our kids veer off of that a little bit, then we get nervous, and perhaps we're putting undue pressure on our kids to not be what God intended them to be. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there's two children's books that come to mind. One is recently written, and it's essentially a book for children, indicating that God made you a girl, and a girl is a girl, but these are the things that girls can be. And it shows the spectrum of behaviors of more masculine types of stereotyped activities that a girl might choose to do, and, you know, play with trucks and want to be an engineer, you know, and be an astronaut, and where girls can be the entire spectrum. And in the same vein, there was a book published and recalled by one of my colleagues that back in a book from 1972. Which was about a boy who loved music, liked to play with dolls and cared for dolls, and his father became very upset and started sort of talking to his own mother about it. And the grandmother said, "Listen, how is the boy to become a good father if he does not know how to care and love babies?" Mm. And it opened this man's eyes, and he sure saw his son in a whole different light. Yeah. So it's a way that I think, yeah, stereotyping forces people into roles that they might not otherwise choose.
Sure.
It's a great question.
And there's a continuum for masculinity and for femininity. I mean, there's some guys who are going to exercise some traits that are predominantly feminine and vice versa. My wife was a track star. Her records still stand today. You know, I married her because she could take a good punch, right? And yet, she's the most feminine thing in the world. I mean, she's just the picture of femininity. But she did have a gift to run, you know? And so, I mean, I caught her, but... So I think there's a continuum there, and that doesn't mean that they're the other gender or sex. So that's my take.
My own personal experience. My oldest daughter, Katie, could throw a football better than most boys, and she ran faster than the boys as a kid. Uh-huh. She wanted to do things that boys got to do because they were exciting, and she saw that role. Yeah. But I will tell you that as athletic as she was, she went into dance and is actually a theater professional in Seattle.
Wow.
She loves to be a woman and get dressed and put makeup on and tastefully and be as feminine as she can. But she said, "Dad, if I were born today, somebody at some school somewhere would tell me that I'm supposed to be a boy and I should be transgender and I'd be hauled off and given hormones. This is terrible."
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, there you go.
Trace, I know that one of the things that Shepherd's Hill says about itself, and this is quite true, you do have students who come to Shepherd's Hill wrestling with LGBTQ issues. And Shepherd's Hill does no reparative therapy per se, but you introduce kids to the love of God and the truth of Christ. Tell us a little bit about how that works for you and what the response is.
Well, I think the lion's share of therapeutic impact is just knowing and accepting the truth, submitting to what's objectively true in life. And no, we don't do any overt therapies that try to pray the gay away or anything like that. But when these kids see that there are certain things that are objectively true, and they see how it works, they start unconsciously submitting to God's ecosystem. Mm. And they like themselves. They get comfortable in their skin. You don't have to sit down and do reparative therapy. You know, the luxury we have, a lot of therapists don't have, is a year of being able to rub shoulders with these kids every day, where they're not being influenced by digital technology, 300 Facebook friends and Instagram friends and all the hocus-pocus worldviews that come across their way on a daily basis. I mean, our culture, today's culture has teed up our kids for mental illness. I mean, it really has. It's systemic to who we are as a country now. But here, they get a chance, and we say this a lot, as Paul Harvey used to say, they get the rest of the story. And once they do, it resonates in their inner being. And then you see that inner being start to blossom like a rose. And we don't have to force anything on them. It's just, it's a natural outworking of being, of experiencing a little bit of the kingdom of God right here on earth.
Any final thoughts to conclude our conversation for today?
Well, I would just say that the family should have hope. They should have open conversations. They should, I believe, look at their faith and look at what God has created for them and their children and celebrate that. Be accepting, be loving, be open to questions, and be forthright with what you know is the truth. Don't be swayed by a threat of a suicide. Yeah. I always say that tantrum behavior gets toddlers nothing in a family that's intact.
Right, or healthy.
And, yeah, and so don't let a tantrum, a threat to basically guide you to give in to your child's really significantly inappropriate wishes.
Because when you do that, you're showing a weakness that gives them no sense of security.
Absolutely. They're begging for security.
That's exactly right. And never in our 20-year history here with residential care have we found a kid that won't admit that the boundaries being forced upon them is what gave them the security to start accepting it on their own. But once we jumpstart, like jumpstart a car,
sure.
Then it has the capacity, or he or she has the capacity, to come up with these decisions on their own.
And self-generate. The alternator kicks in. And,
exactly.
And it keeps their battery.
But that's what parents are supposed to be doing, right?
Yes,
they're
absolutely.
The alternator for their kids.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Dr. Quentin Van Meter, president of the American College of Pediatricians and a pediatric endocrinologist based in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Van Meter, it's been too long. We need to have you back again soon because obviously there's a lot more we could talk
Absolutely.
About here.
Well, there's a lot more that I get to see every time I come up. It's just an absolute thrill to be here.
Well, that is all the time that we have for this edition of Licensed to Parent. Remember that we produce this program to share some of the lessons that we learn in working with teens in crisis day after day here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. As always, if you'd like to learn more about Shepherd's Hill or if you can help our work financially, and we hope that you will, please visit us at licensedtoparent.org. Now, to make a secure donation, just click the donate button at the top of the page. And remember, your gift can help less fortunate families who may need residential care but aren't able to afford it. A donation in any amount will certainly be a blessing, and the need is always great. Again, just click the donate button when you visit licensedtoparent.org. Our guest coordinator on Licensed to Parent is Daniel Fazina. Our technical producer is Carl Peets. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.